The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
וידבר השם על משה לאמור שלח לך אנשים ויסעו לארץ ארץ כנען אשר אני נשאתי לבני ישראל איש אחד איש אחד למטה ויסוף תשלחו כל נשיא בהם. Hashem told Moshe to send people to spy out the land which I will give to the children of Israel, one person from every tribe you shall send. וישלח אשם משם בפורון על פי השם כולם אנשים ראשי בני ישראל המו. So Moshe sent them out from the midbar Paran, from the desert of Paran. They were all Anoshim, which means they were all prestigious people, people of stature. Roshi v'nei Yisrael hema, they were all of the heads, the leaders of Klal Yisrael. Elish Meisam, these are their names, and the Torah tells us exactly who they were. This parasha takes place in the second year in the desert, after the giving of the Torah. The Torah was given on Shavuos, and then took place the episode of the golden calf, after Moshe was on the mountain for 40 days, so he returned to the mountain for another 40 days, and then again another 40 days. And then on Yom Kippur, the second luchos were given. And then the Mishkan was built the following Nisan. And shortly after, it was the divine plan to go into Eretz Yisrael. And actually, immediately they would have gone, after they stayed a year at Sinai. But one episode came up, another episode came up, where Klal Yisrael didn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this deferred the coming into Eretz Yisrael. But they were ready still to come into Eretz Yisrael in the second year of the desert. And this was in Tammuz. Because these spies went into Eretz Yisrael for 40 days. And when they returned on the 9th of Av. So this took place on Tammuz, in Tammuz. And it was because of this episode that we learn here today that Klal Yisrael had to remain in the desert for 40 years instead of immediately going into Eretz Yisrael. Rashi tells us, Shlach lecho anoshim, lo menismecho parshas meraglim leparshas miryum. Why is this parsha written immediately after the parsha of Miryam? Lefi sheloksa liske dibo. Because the Avera of the Meraglim was Iske Dibo, that they spoke Loshon Hara, they slandered Eretz Yisrael. The Fishim, Loksal Iske Dibo, She Dibro Ba'achiyah, V'Rishoyim Alal Rol, V'Ra'u V'Lei Lokhu Musa. And the Avera of Miriam was also Iske Dibo Loshon Hara. She slandered Moshe Rabbeinu. And it was because of this that she was plagued with Tzaras, a type of leprosy. And these people saw this, and they didn't take Musa, they didn't learn from it. So to teach us that when we see something, we must learn from it. This is the relationship between these two parshas. This parsha, the preceding parsha of Miriam, which had to do with Loshon Hara, and this parsha. Then Rashi tells us, Shlach lecho, ledaitecho, ani eina matzave lecho. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that I do not command you to send spies into the land of Israel. Im tirtze shlach. If you want, then send. But I'm not commanding you. The fish bo Yisrael v'omru nishlecho anoshim lefoneinu, k'meshe nema, v'tikruvu neilai kulchem. The people came and they said that we're entering into Eretz Israel. So we want to know about the land. We want to know what kind of armies occupy it, what kind of nations, what kind of fortresses. And Yehina Matzavelecho, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, as far as I'm concerned, I don't have to spy out the land. Im tirtze shlach lefi shebo Yisrael, v'tikrav alai kulchem, ha'meisha nimlach b'shchina. So ha'meisha discussed this with HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Oma ani amati lehem shita'iva. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I told you that this land was good. There's nothing to worry about. I told you that I'm going to take you out of the poverty and out of the misery of Mitzrayim and bring you into this good land. Chayehem. Since you do not trust me, Shani Nesin Lehem Mokan Litais Bidivere Amaragmit, then I will give you room to err. Had you gone with complete bitochin and complete trust in me, then there would be nothing to worry about. I told you it's a good land. I told you I'm taking you out of Egypt and giving you this land. Fine. But now that you do not trust in me, and you want to see it for yourself, you want to test it for yourself, then I will give you mokum litois. I am giving you room for error. Leman lo yishuha. In order that there will be those that will not inherit it, the people who shall not inherit. And from here we learn a great principle that a person tamim tia im Hashem lekehem, that a person must be complete and perfect with Hashem. He must trust Hashem completely. Hashem gives him mitzvahs. He tells him that if he will do the mitzvahs, then this will be the ultimate good for him. Then he must do it. If he prize too much, if he explores too much, he wants too many signs, too many guarantees, he always wants an oath, a sign that what I am, that give me some type of proof, some type of guarantee that if I do this, then I will have Hatzlocha. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you don't trust me, then I will give you room to err. Like here what took place with the Meraglim. We have a similar Gemara, where the Gemara says that from, if someone is Boki, if someone is an expert in astrology, then many times he will be able to foretell his future. Because there is a power in the Mazoles, in the various planets and stars and constellations and so forth. And if someone is expert in it, he will know how. But Klal Yisrael shun darshan, they shun seek these osas, these signs. But tomim tiyim Hashem alakechem, they should go with a perfect trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what he brings upon them, they should accept. And have trust in him, like a son has trust in a father, that what he will do will be the best for him. If he goes with trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will react accordingly. HaBeteach B'Hashem Chesed Yisei B'Venhu. Someone who trusts in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return that trust with Chesed. Since you rely on me, then I will take care of you. But here we see that if you do not have a complete trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not return that with a full Chesed. Then he will give you room for error. This is that what we see here. So this is the prelude to the case of the Meraglim. Moshe sent in 12 people, and amongst them were Kalev ben Yefune and Yeshua ben Nun. Kalev was the husband of Miriam. And he told them to go look at the land, and they went. The Torah tells us in detail what took place. For 40 days they went through the breadth and the length of the land, and they brought back from its fruit, and they saw the people, and then they came back and they saw the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. That is, the Torah tells us that they came to one city which was Hebron. Kalev came to Hebron. The Torah tells us that Hebron was the worst of Eretz Yisrael. Full of rocks and mountainous area. And this is why Hebron was always a place for burial. Hebron is where Moris Machpelah is, the cave of Machpelah, and that's where Abraham chose to bury Sarah. And it was always set aside for burial. So this was the worst of Eretz Yisrael. And still, the Torah tells us that it was seven times more beautiful than the most beautiful city of Mitzrayim, of Egypt. So Chazal explained that Egypt was the most beautiful land in the world at that time. It was Kigan Hashem, like the Garden of Hashem. And So'an was the most beautiful city of Egypt, because that was the city where all of the kings and princes chose to make their royal headquarters. And Hebron was the worst of Eretz Yisrael, and still it was seven times more beautiful than Soar. Why does the Torah tell us this right here? Probably to show that the Meraglim saw this, they realized it, they saw the great beauty, but still they came back with their report. They returned to Meisha and to all of Klal Yisrael, and they brought back a report of slander against Eretz Yisrael. And they showed them the fruit of the land. And they said, we came to the land which you have sent us. And it's a land of flowing milk and honey. The Zepir Yon, they showed the fruit. Ephes, but ki azo oma yeshiv oretz. The land is a vicious land. The nations are vicious. The orim betzuris gedeles meod, great fortified cities. Gam yelide anokri inusham. We saw the children of the Anok, these were giants. Amalek we saw there. The Hittim, Yevusim, Amorim, and so forth. And they said that this is a land we can never conquer. It is a land that will defeat us. Then, Vayas Kolev es Omel Meshe, and Kolev said no. He silenced him. And he said, Olei Nalev Yerashne Yisro, Ki Yochel Nuchal Lo, yes, we can go up and conquer the land. Va'anoshim Asher Olei Imay Amru, Lei Nuchal Alei Selon. And the other people said, no, we cannot go up. Ki Chozoku Mimenu, it is too strong for us. So they slandered Eretz Yisrael, and they said that the land which we came to see, Eretz Ochel Sheshvelhi, it is a land which consumes its inhabitants, and all of the people that live there are people of are giants, and people of great dimensions. And we were like grasshoppers in their eyes. So the whole nation that night wept. Chazal tell us this was the night of Tesbaov, the 9th of Av. And then they came and they claimed and they complained against Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, why did you take us out of Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim was a good land. You took us to die into the desert, and then our wives and our children will be for the spoils of the other nations. And they said, let us choose a new leader and we will go back to Mitzrayim. Then our Kodesh Baruch Hu came. It was very angry. He said that Adhonu Yinatsuni Omazeh, for how long will this nation go up against me? Adhonu Leyaminuvi, for how long will it not believe in me after all of these signs and these miracles that I have performed? And Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy the whole nation. Moshe was mispalel. Kodesh Baruch Hu said he will not destroy the nation, but these people, they will die. And all of the people that came behind them and supported them, this entire generation, they will also die. Therefore, Klal Yisrael will be destined to wander a complete 40 years in the desert, from the time they came out of the Mitzrayim until the time they will go into Eretz Yisrael, in order that this entire generation will die off. And the children who were under 20, they will inherit the land. But anyone who was over 20, and they will die by 60. And during these 40 years, this entire generation will die off. Of the men. Not of the women, because the women did not support this plan. And not of Yeshua ben Nun and Kolev ben Yefune. Because they said, the land is very, very good. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, we will conquer this. It is a land of flowing milk and honey. So they lived, but not the others. This is the decree which stopped Klal Yisrael from coming in, this whole generation from coming into Eretz Yisrael, and which demanded that the entire nation remained 40 years in the desert. What was the Avera? Was the Avera a lack of bitochin? Was the Avera from the fact that they spoke against Eretz Yisrael? What was this Avera? And the Medrash tells us that the source
which brought them to this, it was like Rashi says, they didn't bonim le'emunim bom, they didn't have bitochen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They lacked the faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to believe what he said. But what was the actual Aveira that brought the wrath of Hashem against the people, where he brought such an awful decree against them? With the Meraglim, these people died, and they died a very vicious death, the Torah tells us. Very vicious death. And the whole nation that supported their report were forced to wander for 40 years until they died. What was the Aveira? The Chazal tell us that the Aveiru was not because they lacked trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That might have brought them to this. But this is not what caused this decree. And it was not that they spoke against Eretz Yisrael. But it was that they were Meitzi Dibas, Ra. They spoke Loshon Hora. We've spoken on this Aveiru of Loshon Hora many times. But this is something that from the mitzvahs that constantly needs chizuk. So this night, tonight also, let's devote some time to it. The source for this, what we're saying here, is the Gemara in Erechin. The Mishnah and Daf Tes Vov says the Meitzi Shemra Lohokal Hachmir Ketzad Echad Shehoitzi Shemra Gedeli Shebakuna Vaktanish Yisrael Nesin Mea Sela. If someone slanders, if a man marries a woman, and then after the chuppah he slanders her and says that she committed adultery, and it's proven that he's lying, so Nesin Mea Sela, he has to pay a penalty of 100 sloim. We see from here that someone who says something has a greater punish than someone who actually does something, because he only said something. But someone, by Einis u'mafata, if someone seduces a single woman, or he forcibly rapes a single woman, there the penalty is 50 sloy. Well, if he slanders her, then the penalty is 100. So we see that when someone does something through his speech, the Torah penalizes him even more than if he does it through his physical actions. So the Mishnah says, "Shekein matzinu shelei nischatim gzad din al aveseinu bamidbor ela loshon hora." We find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sealed the decree of fate on the Dor HaMidbar and the generation of the desert only because of loshon hora. Because of slander. So the Gemara says, Mimai Dilma Dakatele Molososu. Why? Maybe it's because that this was the final straw. Kodesh Baruch Hu waits. Someone does an Aveiro. So Kodesh Baruch Hu does not bring punishment immediately. He waits. Does more Aveiros. He waits until it's the final straw. Maybe this was the final straw, but this was a cumulative. There was the golden calf, and there was the mon, they didn't listen to Hashem by the mon. And there was the slav, they didn't listen to Hashem. They said, we want meat to eat, and we're not being treated well enough here, and so forth. So the Gemara says, no. Omar Reish Lokish, Omar Krov, Eyanusa, I see ze eser pomim. Says in the Parsha, in our Parsha, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, this time, this is the 10th time that you have tested me, the 10th time that you have challenged me. Al zeh, it is because of this that I shall make this decree, and no other reason. Al zeh nischatim gzadin. Later on, the Gemara brings 10 times. They did not believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but each time HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to be meichel. Even on the golden calf, he did not bring the decree that they must die in the desert. The Gemara says, 10 times they tested HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eser nishoynis nisu avesenu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shnayim bayam, Twice at the Red Sea, they didn't believe in him. Shnayim b'mayim, twice when it came to drink water, to have water to drink. Shnayim b'mon, twice by the mon. Shnayim b'slov, twice when it came to eating the meat. Achas be'egel, once by the golden calf. Achas b'min b'poran, and one in the desert of Poran, which is here. And on each one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to forgive. It was on this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this he cannot forgive on. And he brought this decree. Then the Gemara says, Tanya Omar Ablezer ben Proto, Bo Rei Kama Godel Keyach Shaloshin Hor. Let us go see. Let us see how great the power of Loshon Hor is. Mimaraglim from the Ramaraglim. Umaha meitzi shemra al etzim vavonim kach hamotzi shemra al chavira elachas kam vakam. If speaking against Eretz Yisrael, slandering Eretz Yisrael brings such a fate, so slandering against another person, how much more so it would bring such a fate? Now from here we see that the slander, that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu sealed the decree was not because they spoke against Eretz Yisrael. It was because they spoke against Eretz Yisrael. The slander was against Eretz Yisrael. But we shouldn't think it was because they slandered Eretz Yisrael, that's why he brought such a decree. But slandering another person, that would not have required, that would have not demanded such a punishment. The Gemara says just the opposite. The Gemara says that from the fact that they slandered Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sealed the decree, and Eretz Yisrael is Eitzim Vavonim. It's stones and it's wood. So if someone slanders his fellow man, how much more so would the punishment be even greater? So the Loshon Hora was against Eretz Yisrael. But the fact that it was Loshon Hora, the fact that it was slander, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu sealed the decree. The Gemara learns from here, slander against another individual is even a greater avera. The Rambam brings, in regards to this mitzvah, in at the end of Hilchos Deos Perek Zayin. A meragel b'chaveri. Meragel b'chaveri is when Reuven says something about Shimon, and Reuven says to Levi something about Shimon. So Levi goes and tells Shimon, this is what Reuven said. So you transgress a negative commandment. As it states, Leiselech Rochel ba'amecho, you shall not be a Rochel. A Rochel is when you carry news from one person to another. A Rochel actually means a salesman, a merchant that goes from door to door. You should not be like a merchant that goes from door to door, that you hear Reuven says something about Shimon, so you go tell Shimon. Even though there is no physical punishment for this, because it's not done through a physical act, so the Beis Din does not give physical punishment for this, but Oven Godel, it is a very great avera, v'gerim laharig nefoshes rabbis b'Yisrael, and this causes the destruction of many, many lives in Israel. And therefore, right by the avera, where it states that you shall not be meragel, it says, leisamer al dam re'echa, the Torah tells us that you shall not stand by the blood of your fellow man. Save alom and ma'ira le dei guadami. Is a rochel? What is a rochel? The shetain dvorim, someone who carries words. Vehelech mizeh mizeh, goes from this person to another person. And he says, this is what Pliny said about you. This is what Reuven said about you. This is what I heard from him on you. Afal pishu hu emes. Even though it's true, and some people think that if it's emes, then it's not loshon hara. Right. Just to the contrary. Even though it's true, harizeh machri v'sa olam. This person is destroying the world. Then the Rambam says, yesh oven godl mizeh aveid. There's an aveira which is even greater. And this is inclusive in this commandment. This is loshon hara, slander, to speak badly about another person. And this is when you speak, you criticize someone, or you speak about someone's shortcoming to a third person, even though it's true. If it's a lie, then that's not called loshon hara. That's called metzi shemra. That's making statements which are not true. That's something else. We're speaking where it is true. Where it is true, this is loshon hara. So a person shouldn't think that since it's true, I have a right to say it about him. Chofetz Chaim used to say that if it's true, then it's emes loshon hara. It's emes loshon hara. It's real loshon hara. Omru chachomim shleish aveirais azeh omar akosav yikores Hashem kol sifsei chalokas loshen v'daberes gedeles. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that he cuts off from him all people that speak loshen hara. Omru chachomim shleish aveirais nifroi min oirem b'lam azeh v'in lai chelek leilam abo. There are three aveirais which are demanded from a person in this world, and he loses his portion in the world to come. Idolatry, adultery and incest, and shvichas damim, the spilling of blood. The loshon hara keneged kulam, and loshon hara equals all three. The three greatest averus in the Torah: idolatry, incest, and adultery, and the spilling of blood. Loshon hara equals all three. Now we'll see that in the Gemara soon. Ve'edomru chachomim kolam esape loshon hara ki lokeif biker. Anyone who speaks loshon hara is as if he's denying the existence of Hashem. Ve'ed omru chachamim shleish loshon hara horeges. Three people loshon hara kills: the one who speaks it, the one who accepts it, and the one who it's spoken about. Ba'makabli yesi mina emrei, and the one who accepts it, he's worse than all. Then the Rambam goes through various different aspects of loshon hara, and he writes, "Kol elu hem balei loshon hara." People who engage in this, who speak badly about another person, who criticizes him to someone else, and even avak loshon hara is where you speak loshon hara to someone else, but not explicitly, but just through an indication. This is all loshon hara he brings. Then the Rambam says, "Kol elu hem balei loshon hara she'asa lada b'shkunaisam." These are balei loshon hara that a person is not allowed to live in the vicinity that they live. B'koshken leishi v'mohem lishmaya divrehem, and certainly not to sit amongst them and to listen to them. Now this is a very important. See, many times people say, well, there's nothing I can do. We sit down at the table and this person is speaking loshon hara and I have to be polite, and it's not nice if I'll tell him to be quiet, or I have someone I speak to on the phone and she's always telling me loshon hara, or he's always telling me loshon hara, or my neighbor and so forth. So the Chazal tell us that a person is not supposed to patronize these people. If he comes to a place where he knows that it's a yeshivas, yesh v'kerenias, it's people who are sit and talk about other people, he's not allowed to go there. This is what David HaMelech said. that he never sat together with Meshiv Leitzim, because he knew that they would speak empty words in Loshon Hara. Also, Lord of Bishchenosim, you're not allowed to live with these people. Certainly, you're not allowed to sit together with them and listen to what they say. Leinechtem gzadin ala vesena ba midbar ela Loshon Hara levad. Leinechtem gzadin ala vesena ba midbar Loshon Hara levad. The decree which was finalized on our fathers in the desert. 10 times they did not believe in Hashem. 10 times they rebelled against Hashem. But the decree was not sealed except on Loshon Hara. The Gemara brings various memorim, various statements on Loshon Hara, which I would like to quote a few. This the Gemara in Erechim. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yechonon Mishum Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra, Ma'ay Dechsiv Ma'ayitin Lacho Ma'ayesiv Lacho Loshon Remiya." What should I give to you? What should I add to you? The slanderous tongue. Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Loshon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the tongue, Kol Eivarev Shel Adam Skufim. Every limb of the person lies down, is upright. V'atom Muto. But the tongue lies down. Kol Eivarev Shel Adam Mibachutz. Every limb of the person is external. V'atom Mibifnim. Your internal. And not only that, but I have built two walls around you. One wall of bone, it's the teeth, and one wall of flesh. What more can I do? And still, we see that people have such great difficulty guarding their tongues. Whoever speaks Loshon Hara is as if he's denying the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what the Rambam quoted. Whoever speaks Loshon Hara, he will bring tzaras, he will bring plague upon himself, a plague which is similar to leprosy. This is what we find by Miriam, and this is what we find by Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe came, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu told him, throw the staff down. And he threw it down and he picked it up, it became a snake. And then he told him to take his hand and put it in his cloak. And when he took it out, he was plagued with tzaras, with leprosy. So the Chazal say, because he spoke Loshon Hara on Klal Yisrael, Hashem told him to go to Egypt and to tell the people that he's come to save them. And Moshe said, Heim la yaminu bi, they will not believe me. So Moshe was speaking, he was slandering them. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, they are maminim b'nei b'aminim, they are people who will believe. Omer Ish Lakish, my deceiv. Ish Lakish says, this is a posuk from Keheles. Yud, im yoshu hanochosh b'lei lachash. If the serpent will bite without any cause. Im yoshu hanochosh b'lei lachash. The serpent will bite without any cause. Animals do not usually bite without cause, but the serpent does. But the slanderer is no better. He also will bite without any cause. In the world to come, all of the animals and the beasts will gather together. And they all come to the serpent. And they'll say that the lion, he kills to eat. the wolf tears to eat. Ato mano yishlecho, but the serpent, he bites and he kills even not to eat. The serpent will destroy anything that will get in its way. So this is wanton destruction. And this is something which is a deviation from the entire nature. Because everything in the world will destroy for a gain. But we don't find wanton destruction in the natural world. So they will all ask him, Ma no yishlecho? Why do you do this? What benefit do you have from it? Omer lahem, so he will answer, V'chi ma yisran lebal roshot. He'll answer, why are you asking me? Why any different than man? The slander is also the same. Because someone who will go and he'll eat something that he's not supposed to eat, but at least he's doing it for some physical gain. Someone who will go and he will seek a great honor, so he's doing it for COVID. He will steal, so he's doing it for monetary gain. But people who sit and deride and criticize other people, and they libel other people, and they slander other people, and defame other people, right? What do they have from it? Sometimes it might be done through one person can gain a position if he'll defame that person. But they'll defame and deride these people even though they do not have direct benefit from it. And especially when you see a Baal Loshon Hara, the Chazal tell us that there's the one who's Mesape Loshon Hara and the Baal Loshon Hara. The one who's Mesape Loshon Hara, that's someone who from time to time he speaks Loshon Hara. But the Baal Loshon Hara is the one who constantly, it becomes almost a sickness by him that he is always speaking. All the time he must say something bad about someone else. Now what is he getting from that? So the serpent says, why do you come and ask me? Why do you say that I am a deviation? That I'm the odd one in the world? By man also we find this. By the slanderer. Whoever speaks Loshon Hara, Magdil Avenis Al Shemaim. The Avenis, the Avera from this is up to the heaven. Whoever speaks Loshon Hara is befitting to be stoned with stones. Whoever speaks Loshon Hara, the Gemara says, Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu Ein Ani V'Hu Yechelin Lodo Ba'ilam. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that both he and I cannot live in the same world. This is how much he hates a Baal Loshon Hara. Then the Gemara says, Omer B'Chama Bachanino, Matak Nosi Shel Misapre Loshon Hara. Someone who speaks Loshon Hara, what should he do? Im Talmud Chochom Hu Yasek B'Torah. If he can learn, he should learn Torah. Because Torah is an Eitz Chaim, Torah is the tree of life. And if he's not a Talmud Chochom, then Yashpil Daitai. Then he should humble himself. So then the Gemara says, what does it mean, what should he do? Dovid HaMelech said, Yikoris Hashem Kol Sifsei Chalokas Loshon. Dovid HaMelech said that it's a decree that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will cut himself off from all of those who speak Loshon Hara. So there's nothing he can do about the Loshon Hara which he has already spoken. So the Gemara says, this is what we mean. What should a person do in order to protect himself from coming to speak Loshon Hara? If he's a Talmud Chochem, then he should learn Torah. If he's not a Talmud Chochem, then he should humble himself. Then the Gemara brings what the Rambam brought, that Loshon Hara is equal to the three most severe averus. Then Omer Abchama Bebchanino might exceed Moves Vechaim B'yad HaLoshon. Death and life is in the hand of the tongue. So the Gemara says, is there a hand to the tongue? This teaches us, this Shlema Melech said, that death and life is in the hand of the tongue. Is there a hand to the tongue? This teaches us, just like a hand kills, the tongue also kills. Just like a hand can only kill what's near him, can the tongue also only kill what's near him? The tongue is like a smooth arrow. And an arrow can kill even what's far away. Just like an arrow can only kill up to 40 and 50 amos, the tongue also can. Tamalema shosu bashamayim fihem ulashainam tehalech ba'oretz. Their mouth, they stand on the ground and their mouth can kill in the heavens. Chofetz Chaim, Socheinu Rocha, who wrote an entire sefer on Loshon Hara, he writes where there's a possibility to transgress 17 negative commandments and 14 positive commandments. When someone speaks Loshon Hara, there is this possibility, 17 negative commandments, 14 positive commandments, and also to bring oneself into under four curses. So this is the severity of the Avera. There's a medrash in Sheikhetev, Periklamites. Well, the medrash brings, what does it mean, Achaim v'hamoves b'yad haloshim? That life and death is in the hand of the tongue. Ma'isohoye b'melech Poras. The story took place with the king of Poras, a Persia Shecholo. He became sick. Omru lei harefim. The doctor said to him, "Ein lecho rafua ad sheyaviyo lecholem leviyo. There is no cure for you until they will bring you the milk of a female lion, a lioness. V'nase lecho rafua. And if you'll drink that milk, then you will be cured." So they said, "How is anyone going to get the milk of a female lioness?" Ona echad v'amar ani mevi. Ani mevi lecho cholem leviyo. So one person answered and he said, "I will do it. But you must give me 10 goats." So he told his servants to give him 10 goats. He went to a den of lions. There was a Levi Achas Menekes. There was Gurya. There was a lioness that was giving milk. She was nursing her young cubs. The first day he stood far away and threw her a goat. She ate it. Second day he came a little closer and threw her a goat. She ate it. And he did this every day until the end he was able to play with her. And then Lokach Mechelbe, he took her milk and he started to head back to the castle. When he was in the middle of the way, he had a dream. He camped over and he had a dream. And he dreamt that all of the different parts of his body were fighting with each other, each one claiming that they're greater than the others. Feet said that I'm the greatest part of the body, because if it was not for me, then he would have never been able to walk to get the milk. The hand said, "No, I am the greatest part of the body, because if it was not for me, he would not have been able to take the milk." The heart said, I'm the one who gave the Eitzer. Onzo Aloshim. The tongue said, "Im le'amati adover maya Eitzer. If I would have not spoken up to the king, then there would have been nothing to talk about." Heshiva le'kola evorim. So all of the evorim, all of the parts of the body answered him, "You have no fear to come and compare yourself to us. At b'mokum cheshech. You dwell in a dark place. You're made of no bone, like the you're not strong like the other limbs. So he said, all right, today I will show you that I rule over all of you. He woke up, he went to the king, came to the king, and he said, here is Cholev Kalbasur, here is the milk of a dog. Instead of saying, here is the milk of a lioness, so his tongue tripped him up, and he said, here is the milk of a dog. Kotzav HaMelech, the Melech became angry and commanded that they should hang him. The tongue said, didn't I tell you that I am the strongest of all of you? So they said, I will show you, just like I can destroy him, I can save him also. So the tongue said to the executioners, bring me back to the king. I want to speak to him. They took him back, and he said, why are you doing this to me? So the king answered, I told you to bring me milk of a lioness, and you went and you brought me milk of a dog. He says, what's the difference to you? You'll have a cure from it. The old Levia Kalbus Akarin law. And also, it's a lioness. I just called it a dog. They took it, they tested it, he drank it, he was cured. So all of the parts of the body said to the tongue, we admit to you, we confess to you, life and death is at the hands of the tongue. Then the Medrash says, the tongue is even greater than the sacrifices. I will praise Hashem with song. Now this is with the tongue. And I will bring him thanks with my tongue. And this will be better to Hashem than a shor par, than bringing him a bull. Or bringing him a shor par than bringing him a bull. We see from all of these Maimorim, and there are more, we don't have time to go into all of this, we see that the tongue was given special powers. It has the potential of being the greatest of all of the Evorim. It, life and death is in the tongue. And it can be even considered greater than all of the korbanos. And as the Gemara says, that it has the power to kill not only something that's right next to it, but all around. Now the pasuk that the Gemara brought is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Perek Tes, pasuk Zayin. Chet shochut l'sheino mirma diber. That the slanderous tongue is like a chet shochut, like an arrow, like a smooth arrow. B'piv sholem esre'u yedaber. U'bikir b'yosim orbei. Piv Sholem Esreyu Yidaber, that with his mouth he speaks peace to his fellow man. But Bikirba Yosim Orboy, but really it is full of cunningness, and he is hunting him. Those who slander each other, to each other they speak peacefully. But it is like a Chet Shochut L'Sheinam Mirma Diber. It is as powerful as an arrow that can kill. Now we can learn, in a simple sense,
that the tongue has the power to kill, because when you speak badly about someone, so the ramifications can be very great. And the ramifications can go to far distant areas. But from all of the chazals that keep saying that hachayim v'hamoves b'yad haloshon, that death and life are beheld within the tongue itself. And it would seem something simple. This is something we should understand for ourselves, that if a person says badly about someone else and it has a destructive power, so we understand that this can cause destruction. And what does it mean also? That this Aveira is equal to Gila Rai Shvichas Domim Vaverizora. It's equal to the three greatest Aveiras in the Torah. And we see it's compared to the serpent. Because the Chazals tell us that when everyone will ask the serpent, why is there wanton destruction by you? He'll say, well, why am I different than the Bal Haloshen, than the slanderer? And we see also in the Goyim, plague comes upon a person. So it's evident that there is much more within the power of the tongue than one might superficially believe. It's not that it's just another part of the body, it's another organ of the body, except it's very efficient. And therefore it can be very destructive. But we see that the Chazal saw something far more reaching in the power of the tongue. And when Shlomo HaMelech said, Achaim v'amoves b'yad haloshen, the life and death is within the tongue, he meant life and death is within the tongue. Now to explain this a little, because the time is very short, we'll have to mention a few principles. And that is, the tongue is different than any other organ of the body. Because it is the function of the tongue to create speech. What is speech? Speech is to communicate one's thoughts to another person. A person's thoughts are his concealed motivations. The person didn't have a tongue to communicate with, so it would remain concealed. Through the tongue, he is able to communicate these thoughts to other people. And notice the Gemara says that the tongue, its place is in a secret part of the body. It's concealed. Because it's its function is to bring the most concealed parts of the person into the open. And it's through this that man communicates himself to other people. Now this power of the tongue, this power of speech of Dibur, was given to no other creature in the entire world. We find the capability to walk that was given to other creations also. The capability to move their hands to other creations also. The capability to see, to hear, is also. The power of speech was given only to man. And man many times is defined by the fact that he can speak and he alone can speak. Chazal always referred to man as the medaber, the speaker. There's the domain, the rock that's silent. There is the tzemeach, that what grows. There is the chai, the animals that have a life in them. They refer to man as the madaba, the speaker. And Unkelus, in his Pirush HaNechumash, in Breishis, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said
that where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man. This is on Posuk Zayin, Bereishis Beis, Posuk Zayin, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim Eso Adom, Ofer Min Adom, that when Hashem formed man, dust from the earth, Vayipach Bapav Nishmas Chaim, and he blew into his nostrils a Nishmas Chaim, a living soul, Vayi Adam LaNefesh Chaya, and then man became a Nefesh Chaya. So the perfection of man was the blending of the earth together with the soul from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was the perfection of man. And he became a Nefesh Chaya then. Then he became a living life. A Nefesh Chaya. Now what was this living life that he became? So Kula says, Bahavas Bodim L'ruach Namala. He became a life which could speak. A speaker. A person was given 3 sections. That's his physical body, and his emotional body, his emotions, and his mental and spiritual capabilities. The organ which combines all 3 of these, this was the Keach HaLoshon, this was the Keach of the tongue, the power of the tongue. When a person speaks, it's physical, because without a physical tongue he could not speak. It's emotional. Modern science today has found out that it's very closely attached to the entire nervous and emotional system of man. And they have found out that many speech difficulties are emotional. And it is mental, because the power of speech comes from the brain. This is the only organ which our Chazal tells us completely utilizes and brings into perfection all 3 sections of the body. And its product is something which is not physical. Because what is the product of the speech? Product of the tongue is speech, dibur. Dibur is something which is not physical. Dibur is something which is completely spiritual. Sound waves. It's more than sound waves. But out of the sound waves, creating words of communication, creating machshava, creating thoughts that go into the world. Now from this we can get a little more clarification on what the Gemara is speaking about. If its product is not physical, then there can be no limitations on the consequences, good or bad, of the product. And that's why the Gemara says that speech is like an arrow that can destroy even far away. And it's more than an arrow, because an arrow is limited to a person's power, so it can only destroy 40 or 50 amas. But since the speech is something which he creates, something spiritual, so then it has no limitations. He can stand on the ground and he can destroy in the heavens. Another thing we understand with this, how is it that man should, that Loshon Hara should be equal to the 3 Averis in the Torah, which are the most severe Averis? The answer is because these 3 Averis, what is the common denominator between all 3? One is the epitome of the worst emotional act a person can do, another of the physical act, and the third of a mental act. When it comes to idolatry, idolatry is the ultimate of the mental transaction, of the mental transgression against the Torah. With his mind, he creates and he believes in false gods. Shfichas Domim, The spilling of blood. This is the ultimate of the emotional transgression. Because what brings a person to murder? Hatred, jealousy, revenge, envy. He's driven to this. So the ultimate of the emotions. In adultery and incest, this is the ultimate of a physical of the physical transaction, transgression. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that when an Aveira reaches this degree, and these are the three worst Aveiras, and on these three Aveiras one must give his life on before transgressing them. Lashon Hara is equivalent to all three. Why? Because Lashon Hara combines the total person. It takes all three sections of man to create speech. And if with speech he rebels against the Torah, he rebels against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, Magdil Aveinis, his Aveiras, his Keneged, is equal to Aveiras Zorah, Gilah Reis, and Shvichas Domi. So this gives us somewhat of an insight into that. And we can understand also now why this was considered the perfection of man. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this man and he built him out of the soil and he gave him a soul, then this created the mus, the tzelem, which Hashem wanted, the image which Hashem wanted. So the ultimate perfection showed in his capability of man. And only man has this power of speech, of this dibur. This was the utilization of all of the keches that Hashem gave him. And he was able to speak. The powers of the tongue are so great that when Shlomo HaMelech said, "Achaim v'amoves b'yad haloshon," that there is life and death in the tongue, he meant exactly that. He didn't mean the tongue can bring about life through its speech, or he didn't mean that it could bring about death, but he meant that there is a power of life in the tongue. And this is the parable that the Gemara brings, that when the Medrash brings, when it had its argument with all of the other parts of the body, the tongue wanted to show that he could bring death to the person or he could bring life to the person. Because this is the ultimate perfection of man, and because this is a unique power that was given to man, this power is almost an unlimited power. From one end, it has a power in which it can bring out the most concealed thoughts of man, the most concealed seeds of man, bring it out into the open, communicate it to other people. And from the other end, that what it communicates becomes a spiritual product. It's not physical. And incidentally, I mentioned this many times, many medical people say that the power of speech is perhaps the area which is the least unknown to man, to modern science, on how to completely understand this and its mechanism. A tremendous power was given to man in this speech. And therefore, if he uses it, letov, it's hachayim b'yad haloshon, it's life. If he uses it l'ra, then it's loshon hora. And then no aveira can equal it. We
we see that this power is compared to the Nochash, to the serpent. The power of Lashon Hara. When man was created and he first sinned, this was through the seduction of the serpent. So the Chazal tells us, Hitul Zuhuma, B'sei Chava, the serpent, which at that time was the essence of evil, interjected his poison into man. Hitul Zuhuma, B'sei Chava, he interjected his poison into Chava. When Chava succumbed to the Aveira which he brought about, the essence of evil that was found in the serpent was interjected into Chava, and from there it went into the seed of man. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, there will always be hatred between the serpent and your seed for that reason. We find the serpent is rejected. He's rejected from the entire community. He's rejected from the community of man. He's rejected from the community of animals. No animals. You'll find at a water hole, you can find a buck and a buffalo and birds and an elephant drinking water. But you'll never find a serpent standing next to them drinking water also. He's completely rejected. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he decreed that death will come to the world for that Aveira. That Aveira was brought about by Lashon Hara. Because the serpent came and he spoke Lashon Hara against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He told Chava, the reason why you shouldn't eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge is because the Almighty feels that if you'll eat that fruit, then you'll be as wise as him. And this he doesn't want. This is why he told you not to eat. So he went and he spoke Lashon Hara. He slandered. It wasn't merely a case of slander. It was a case where this slander now brought the essence of his poison into the person. Now that went into the complete person, and that went into the power of the speech. And when the person speaks Lashon Hara, he is using the power of the Nochash, the power of the serpent. Therefore, we only find in the serpent where there can be wanton destruction without benefit. And the serpent answers, but that we find in man also. Ma yisra netzel bala loshem. We find that in man also when he slanders. There's wanton destruction without benefit. But that power came from the serpent. And this is why we find the two always related. When Moshe spoke Lashon Hara against Klal Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu told him, throw your staff down. He threw the staff down, it turned into a serpent, and Moshe became afraid. And this brought death to the world. It was this Aveira that brought death to the world. And this is why that the power of Lashon Hara and the power of serpent has the power to kill. And this went into the tongue. And it's not through indirect causes. But hamoves biyar haloshon. There is death in the tongue. And if a person does not control it, this is what it brings about. And this is what took place in the Midbar, in the desert. That it was on this that HaKadosh Baruch Hu finalized the decree. And we find, interestingly enough, that the serpent also kills. He does not kill through biting. He kills through projecting a poison into the air. He projects a poison into the air. He kills, even from far away. While other animals have to be close and they have to bite and they have to destroy this way. This went into the tongue. And when the tongue speaks Lashon Hara, it is projecting a poison into the air. And that poison kills. And this is what the Rambam brings, that kol ha'esed dvarim elu, mevi churban la'ilam. He brings destruction to the world. At the same time, Achayim is Biyar Aloshim. There is life in the tongue. The tongue can create life, like the Chazal brought from the parable. And this, how can it create life? Because it is through this that the greatest perfection of man is brought out. If he praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his tongue, then he is creating a spiritual product that only man can create. He is singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is greater than a sacrifice, greater than a bull. Because that's something which is physical, which is with its physical limitations. While this is something which is endless. Therefore the Gemara says, what should a person do in order to guard himself from Lashon Hara? Let him be Yasek B'Torah, he should learn Torah. Because when he learns Torah, he speaks Divrei Torah. And Torah is Eitz Chaim, a tree of life. This is what Shlomo HaMelech said, David HaMelech said, Mi'a'isha chofetz chayim, who is the man who wants life? Mitzor l'shen chmeira, usfosecha mimdaber mirmo. Someone who wants life, let him guard his tongue from evil. Let him guard his tongue from deceit. He should speak in the Torah and in the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He should speak with divrei mitzvahs. One should not think that it's better not to talk than to talk. This is false. Does not say someone who wants life, let him guard his tongue. Does not say that. Or let him not talk. It says he should guard his tongue from evil. Because the tongue, just like there's the power of the serpent in the tongue, there is the power of life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave in the tongue. That's the ultimate perfection of man. They say in the Chofetz Chaim Zochei Livracha, who dedicated a whole life to bring to the people the realization of what the great Aveira was of Lashon Hara. They said that you would think he was someone who never spoke. Yet whenever he was with people, he was the Yireisha Madabrim, he spoke the most. There are mitzvahs that we are obligated to speak in. V'dibartam bom, we are obligated to speak in mitzvahs to make people feel better in Divrei Chesed and Divrei Torah. Just like Shlomo HaMelech said, death is in the tongue, he also said life is in the tongue. So therefore, someone who wants life, he must guard his tongue from evil, but he must use it for Divrei Torah and for mitzvahs. Because the Torah is an Eitz Chaim, and this will bring Chaim to him. These are some of the insights. By no means have we exhausted this subject. This is a very, very deep subject and a very broad subject, but this is some of the insights that come from this parsha, because it was on this, through this Aveira, that the Meraglim fell, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the decree. We should all be zeicher to see the power of Chaim, of life in the tongue, not the other power in the tongue. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.